This morning we'll be discussing verses 27 and 28. Please know that starting with 29, the Govindam prayers, perhaps the most well-known portion of Sri Brahma Samhita begins. So all of this, these two verses and all that preceded, is to help us understand how Brahma qualified himself, prepared himself to be able to offer such wonderful prayers as the Govinda prayers. Yesterday evening, following the lengthy discussion about Mahavishnu's plans and Shambhu and Pradhan becoming Mahatattva and the different elements and the different features of the material energy, the seeds of the universes entering into that Mahatattva, the clinging of the five gross elements to the seeds, but not being able to yet perform the function of the universe, the demigods presiding over those elements, praying to Mahavishnu for the knowledge and the capacity to do their function on his behalf. Shiradakshaya Vishnu is entering along with Kali, or his time energy, the energy of combining, and then the elements, using Bhaktisiddhanta's language, could conglomerate. The conglomerating principle was applied. The universes then began to take shape with layers, and they floated on the causal ocean for thousands upon thousands of years, like footballs. And at his own independent free will, Mahavishnu then entered as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, carrying with him from the Mahatattva some portion, a universe's worth of living entities. And the Kriya Shakti of Mahavishnu then began to act, to activate the destiny or karma of those jivas. And the sum total of the destiny or karma of those jivas then pushed its way through the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu in the form of a lotus bud. And as that lotus expanded, Lord Brahma, one of the living entities within his body, appeared on top of that lotus. You heard some things about the Virat Rupa, the three identities. Remember, important verse 3:8:15, Bhagavatam, that Lord Brahma is simultaneously the Virat Rupa, Hiranyagarbha Brahma, and Chaturmukha Brahma. And that's like mind that's puzzling, a little difficult. But on the other hand, natural, because Brahma has the responsibility and the service of fulfilling the destiny of all of the living entities, so he needs to be well acquainted with the desires and their destiny. So he has a super big hard drive, really super capacity. he is invested with that that potency, that capacity, by the personality of Godhead, in this case Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. We heard that the Hiranyagarbha Brahma, the prototype Brahma, provides or invests within that living entity these capacities. And so Brahma is now born and inquiring, self-inquisitive, so to find out his destiny or his identity and his source from where he has come. He climbs down the stem of the lotus, can't find the end, returns back to the stem to perform tapa, as he heard while down the stem. And specifically, he hears the version that we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam, both the second canto and the third canto, as he hears tapa. What we hear in the Brahma Samhita is, you could say, another aspect of that tapa, or what particular tapa is he supposed to do. And the tapa he's supposed to do in Brahma Samhita is fulfill that which the internal potency of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Rama Devi, says, her name in this case is Saraswati, to chant the 18-syllable Gopal mantra, and by so doing it fulfill all your desires, both spiritual and material. We heard Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's and some of the other acharyas' description of that Gopal mantra. We heard that in verses 2 and 3, but we heard it again yesterday. Bhaktisiddhanta's expression is very succinct. It enthuses one to run after the all-attractive Sri Krishna, the king of Vraja, and his milkmaids. And that brings us up to where we are this morning. So this morning we'll cover verses 27 and 28. And then after breakfast we're going to skip forward to 56, 57, 58. Those final verses. 57, 50, anyway, whatever they are. The final verses. The final five verses will be three after breakfast and two in the evening. And at the end of this morning's class, we'll hear what that subject matter is. It fits very nicely with the conclusion of this verse, these two verses. So let's chant together text 27. Attaveno nidadasya Kai murti mai gati sporanti pravisheshashu bhavjani svayam bhuha gayatim gayatas tasmad adigatya sarojaja samskritas chadi gununa dvijatam agamattata. Translation. Then Gayatri, the mother of the Vedas, being made manifest, i.e. imparted by the divine sound of the flute of Sri Krishna, entered into the lotus mouth of Brahma, born from himself through his eight ear holes. The lotus born, the lotus born Brahma, having received the Gayatri, sprung from the flute song of Sri Krishna, attained the status of twice born, having been initiated by the supreme primal preceptor, Godhead himself. Someone was asking, does this mean that Brahma's Diksha Guru was Garbhadakshay Vishnu? Well, it's Krishna himself was his Diksha Guru. You know, the Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, the flute playing Govinda, who Brahma is offering his prayers to, starting with text 29. Krishna, through his flute, so his, obviously Krishna's flute is pretty extraordinary. There's Shiva Maharaj wrote a whole book about Krishna's flute. Here are some of the things that Krishna's flute does. It's not just a musical instrument that makes notes. It does that. But when Krishna wants to call the cows, some of you have been to Vrindavan, and you've been to this fabulously wonderful place, Ter Kadamba. Ter means call. So Krishna would climb the Kadamba tree. High in the Kadamba tree, he would call the cows by groups. There's lots of cows. 900,000 cows, so they're in groups. And he would call them by name. And he would call them by name using his flute. And they would hear their name being called from Krishna's flute. And if any of the cows were missing, because he had a counterpiece, he had a necklace that he would move like an abacus. He would count the cows as they would come. And if any cow was missing, he would again call that cow by name with his flute. And their ears would stick up in the air, and their tails would rise in the air, and they would moo and come running, hearing Krishna call them by name through his flute. Or we hear Advankshivat, another very wonderful place, transcendentally wonderful place in Vrindavan, where under a banyan tree, vat means banyan tree, Krishna would play upon his vanshi, his flute. And the description in the Bhagavatam is that the sound of Krishna's flute, when it entered the ears of the gopis, it forcibly carried them to that banyan tree. Of course, they were very willing. But it was that, it's Krishna's desire, like from his heart, through the sound of his flute, please come and enjoy rasa dance with me. Forcibly they were carried. Krishna's flute is all attractive. The most attractive of all sounds, Acharyas describe in relation to this particular verse. So when the sound of Krishna's flute entered the ears, the eight ear holes of, he has four heads times two ears per head, in eight ear holes from his four mouths came this mantra, Gayatri mantra. And it's a specific mantra. It's Kam Gayatri mantra. Perhaps you remember, I don't know if this is, no, it's not here. If you remember with the slides that we had of the yantra, remember that yantra. So at the very end, number six was the transition verse, and there was an image after that that showed text 27, today's verse. So inscribed in that yantra is this Kam Gayatri mantra. So there's that hexagonal interior region depicted over here also. Just outside in that white portion, or not the white portion, around, well yes, it's in the yantra, that's the diagram, that's not this one. There's the red points of the triangles where the residence of the gopis, and then there's in between that blue area that had clean. So just outside of that was Kam Gayatri mantra. So that, in other words, that's inscribed also in the yantra, which Lord Brahma utilized in chanting of his mantra, was the yantra. So depicting Krishna's abode. And the means to access Krishna's abode was through mantra. Okay, so when we heard that description of the hexagon formed by the 18-syllable Gopal mantra, perhaps you recall, we heard that there is three parts, or Sambandha Avideya Prayojana. I hope I spoke about that. So, Sambandha, that's in the mantra, clean Krishnaya, indicating Madan Mohan, or he who helps one to establish a relationship with him, with this, with Krishna. And Madan Mohan is the presiding deity of all the knowledge of the Vedas related to Sambandha, Gyan. Then, Kim Krishnaya, Govindaya. And Govinda is one who receives our service. One acts within that relationship by serving Govinda. And Govinda presides over the knowledge of Abhideya, Gyan, the knowledge of acting within that relationship, devotional service. So naturally, Rupa Goswami was the worshipper of Govinda, Govindaji, and he taught the science of devotional service. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, all about bhakti. He's the teacher of the knowledge of devotional service. And then Gopi Jana Bhalamaya, the giver of pleasure to the gopas and the gopis, the Gopi Jana, both male and female. Gopi Jana is both male and female. And Bhakti Siddhanta's description is Bhalamaya. Specifically, it's in relation to the gopis. Because of Gopinath is the presiding deity of Prayojana Gyan, or the fulfillment of perfection, the ripened fruit of devotional service in its perfectional stage. Prayojana. Gopinath is the presiding deity of that third aspect of Vedic knowledge. And according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his discussions with Prakashananda Saraswati, the Vedanta Sutra is divided into those three divisions, literally, for I've not read it, but our acharyas described there's four parts. The first two parts are connected to Sambandha again, the third part is connected to Abhideya again, and the fourth part is Prayojana again. And the whole is the summary of all the Vedas, and all the Vedas are expressing one of those three, or those three, perhaps combinations of those three subject matters. That's the Vedas. And the presiding deities of those Vedas are those three: Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopina. So they're included in that 18-syllable Gopal mantra. And the sva is the spiritual identity of self, not the material identity, the spiritual identity, and ha is full self-surrender in that mood, specifically in the mood of the gopis or the milkmaids of Braja, Gopijana Bhavava. So that mantra we heard yesterday, Brahma chanted. It was his tapa for thousands and thousands of years. Highly qualified. We don't have the capacity. He had the capacity, and he came then to understand his position, eternal position, as this eternal servant of Krishna in Vrindavan. And then came this mantra from the flute song of Krishna, coming out of his mouth in the form of Gayatri, specifically Kano Gayatri. Here's the translation that Prabhupada, in his own words, or his own translation, translates the Kama Gayatri mantra, the one that's the subject of this verse, text 27. Let us meditate on the master of the senses, who carries arrows of flowers. Let us meditate on him, being thus enthused by the transcendental Cupid. That Prabhupada's translation. Jiva Goswami says in his commentary on this verse, this is the king of all mantras, the monarch, the emperor, the best. Specifically, this mantra, unlike the other one, this one specifically says, having received this mantra, Brahma attained the status of twice born. Dvija. It's in the sense with the last line. Dvijatam agamatakam. So, recently I had a discussion, just coincidentally, a discussion with Rabindra Saruprabhu about the distinction between the Gopal mantra and Kama Gayatri. He's a PhD in philosophy, so he has that kind of a brain, very refined brain on philosophy. So, and he has an attraction for Sanskrit. He's not a Sanskrit scholar, but he has an attraction for Sanskrit. So he was explaining, there's a technical point about Kam Gayatri. That there's a particular meter and rhythm to Kam Gayatri that qualifies it technically as a Gayatri mantra, as does the Brahma Gayatri mantra. Brahma Gayatri mantra is well known by so many people, everybody. I've attended functions that are not ISKCON functions, and they're singing Brahma Gayatri, which is something that is not to be done, but they do it anyway. Because these Gayatri mantras are to be silently uttered, or murmured sometimes, it is said, for one's own personal benefit, not the other kind, not as in kirtan. But in any case, many people know Brahma Gayatri, and it is a formal Gayatri, also found in Rig Veda. And this Gayatri is said to be the mother of the Vedas. Perhaps you've heard that. In Jiva Dharma, which is a book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, an amazing book, very amazing book. It's a book in which about four other books, it's so-called fiction. At least the storyline is fiction. It's two young men who live in Calcutta, contemporary to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time. And they're kind of like, let's go on a vacation. We heard about this place called Navadvip. Let's go take our camera and, you know, go check out Navadvip, kind of, you know, curiosity thing. And when they get to Navadvip, they hear this uproarious kirtan. And they go, wow. And they enter into the region where the kirtan is, and then there's some discussion. And they ask some questions, and they receive answers that prompts other questions, and then there's further answers. And by that method of question-answer, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving a very simple rendering of nectar of devotion and nectar of instruction. Rupa Goswami's teachings, I forget which books are covered. It's like a little overview summary of those books. It's not like just high level. It gets into detail and detail and detail and in rasa and very, very profound things. So in one of those sections, there's a discussion about from Padma Purana, there's a statement that Gayatri is the mother of the Vedas. And starting with that as a springboard, the sages and sadhus at Navadvip, they begin to explain the history of Kama Gayatri. So Gayatri is commonly Brahma Gayatri. So Gayatri Devi is hearing a description in which it is said that all of the Upanishads formerly were gopis in Braja. So she then starts to appreciate, wow, if the Upanishads are formerly gopis in Braja, there must be something very special about this Braja. So Gayatri then begins, see that this is esoteric description, but hang on. Gayatri then begins having a discussion about that fact with Gopal Tapani Upanishad personified. And they make a plan. Let us see if we can take birth, undergo austerity so that we can take birth in Braja as gopis. And so they do that. They undergo austerities and they take birth in Braja as gopis. And Gayatri Devi then becomes Kama Gayatri. She took the form of Kama Gayatri. So Brahma Gayatri, which many people are familiar with, to appreciate the mood of Braja became Kama Gayatri after association with the residents of Braja and those austerities. So that's a little esoteric description of the origin of Kama Gayatri, and this Kama Gayatri is then what came from the mouth of Lord Brahma. Something that it's kind of obvious, but no problem pointing it out. There is an idea. Bhaktisiddhanta speaks about it, or writes about it in the purport, so I'm mentioning it. That many people who are born in families of brahmanas consider because of birth they are brahmana. And there's some interesting, you know, support for if one is born of brahmana family, then at least the opportunity is greater to become a brahmana, but still there must be diksha. And before diksha, there must be purificatory procedures before there's diksha. And as you know, the first of the samskaras or purificatory procedures is garbhadan samskara. And without samskaras, there's no question of a brahmana. They must observe samskaras. Because garbhadan samskara is not observed in modern times, children are begotten without that samskara. Therefore, the child that is born from such parents is not brahmana, minus the samskara. And therefore, we have this statement, kalau shudra sambhavan. In the age of Kali, everyone is born shudra or less. Even one may be in a brahmana family. But even putting that to the side for just a moment, who is the father of Lord Brahma? Vishnu himself. Although he was born of Vishnu himself, he was not considered brahmana or twice born until he received initiation in Kama Gayatri by Krishna himself. And prior to that, it was tapa. He underwent purificatory practices to qualify himself to receive the Gayatri Mantra and then to properly chant the Gayatri Mantra. Yesterday, you remember I was fumbling for Prabhupada's statement about the qualification to chant and receive and chant Gayatri Mantra from 111 Bhagavatam purport. Here it is. This Gayatri Mantra is meant for spiritually advanced people. When one is successful in chanting the Gayatri Mantra, he can enter into the transcendental position of the Lord. One must therefore acquire brahminical qualities or be perfectly situated in the quality of goodness in order to chant the Gayatri Mantra successfully. And then he can attain the stage of transcendentally realizing the Lord, his name, fame, qualities, and so on. So, emphasis once again on tapasya. Emphasis on qualifying oneself. In our case, it's chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to qualify ourselves, and then Harinam Diksha to further then receive the blessings of the disciplic succession, to then over a period of time further qualify oneself to receive, as Brahma is doing directly from Krishna's flute, the Kama Gayatri Mantra. Or Gayatri Mantras. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this Kama Gayatri in the following way. This is taken from a commentary on Kama Gayatri. He wrote a whole book on it. He wrote the whole book esoterically. He was instructed by Srimati Radharani to do so. I'll explain that in just a moment. But in that book, commentary on this Kama Gayatri, he writes, "The Kama Gayatri is a Maha Mantra. Those devotees who chant it will be born in the region of Vrindavan." So chant that mantra. But qualify yourself to chant that mantra by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, like a lot and very carefully, and then Kama Gayatri Mantra. He continues, the Kama Gayatri is that Gayatri which has the Kama Bija joined to it. That's clean. We discussed that already, text 3. Its worshipable deity is the king of the mellows of conjugal love. This is Gopinath. But in the mantra it's Ananga, who is Gopinath or Gopijana Vallabha. He's the Ishtadev, the presiding worshipable deity of that mantra. He, the deity of the mantra, is identical with the transcendental Cupid, that's Mother Mohan, attracting the love of his devotee, specifically attracting the love of his devotee to Gopinath, the Lord of the Gopis, the son of Nanda Maharaj. His abode is Sri Vrindavan. So what? So that's his, some little excerpt from his commentary. In his purport here, in text 27, Bhaktisiddhanta says, similar, Kama Gayatri is the highest of all Gayatris because the meditation and prayer contained in it are full of the perfect transcendental sportive activities which are not to be found in any other Gayatri. There's three parts of the same Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath. In the next verse we'll hear the commentary, Jiva Goswami's commentary, the breakdown of those three, how it applies in the Kama Gayatri. There's a very nice explanation given in this same book by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that's a commentary on Kama Gayatri, where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur lived in Vrindavan and he studied under Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami along with another student of his named Mukunda, and he was, an excellent student. He was an ardent appreciator of the profound capacity of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to present the truths of Krishna. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj had written a description of Kama Gayatri, and he described it as having 24 and a half syllables. The Gopa Mantra is 18. So this was called by him 24 and a half syllables, each of the syllables representing a moon. His fingernails having so many moons, and his eyes moons, and his forehead a half a moon, and etc., etc. So adding up, it's 24 and a half. So reading that and having the ultimate regard for Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami as one who had the capacity to be in touch with the Supreme Lord enough to understand the features of this mantra as being as parts of the body of Krishna, he then began to contemplate, how is this 24 and a half? Because you can do it yourself, you can count. The mantra is in the next purport, next verse in purport. Count the syllables and it's 25. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says 24 and a half. So he was puzzled. But it wasn't just like an academic puzzlement. It was, he wanted very much to appreciate, as Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami appreciates Krishna, the form of Krishna. And he was considering within himself, if I can't receive that which our exalted Acharya wishes to give us, then how will I reach Krishna? So he began to consider and look in different Sanskrit dictionaries. He's writing all this in his book, as the commentary. And he's puzzled and puzzled, and everywhere he looks, he can't find the answer. There's a long description, which I'm not going to read. And then he writes, in Hari Namamrita Vyakarana, which is a book by Jiva Goswami, according to Lord Chaitanya's teaching, when he was a grammar student in Navadvip as Nimai Pandit, it's a Vyakarana, it's a study of Sanskrit. So you can access the Vedas through knowledge of Sanskrit. But Lord Chaitanya taught it, and then Jiva Goswami wrote it. All the rules were in terms of names of Krishna. So Harinama, Amrita Vyakarana. So in that book, it says that the alphabet originated from Lord Narayan. So there can't be mistakes in the alphabet. And there's a fixed number of letters in the alphabet. There's no half a letter. So he was beside himself. Now I'm going to read. Translation of what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur expressed. Even after studying this explanation from different angles, no definite conclusion could be drawn. At that time, giving up trying to understand it, I stopped eating and drinking. I decided to give up my body. He was pretty intense in pursuing conclusions of the Vedas. So I went and threw myself helplessly on the shore of Radhakund. If the syllables of the mantra defy human reason, how could one even ever perceive God himself? Therefore, it seemed only fit to give up my life. Then, when the second watch of night arrived, I don't know what that exactly means, you know, different muhurtas perhaps, and so through passage of the night, I fell asleep and saw that the daughter of Rishabhanu, Sri Radha, came and spoke to me. Oh, Vishwanath, oh, dear one of Hari, get up. What Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami wrote is true. He is my confidential attendant. By my mercy, he knows all my confidential affairs. Do not doubt his words. That mantra is for worshipping me. Indeed, I am the goal to be known by the letters of that mantra. Without my mercy, no one can understand this. The half syllable is described in a book called Varna Gama Basvad. After reading it, Krishna Das Kaviraj wrote about the half syllable. Listen, after you have seen that book, please make a collection of all the evidences regarding the all-beneficial meaning of this mantra. After hearing Radha's words, I quickly regained consciousness, but my doubt continued. So I began to cry repeatedly, alas, alas. Guarding her word in my heart, I strove to nurture it. The description of the half-syllable in Radha's own words was, when the syllable ya, this is from that book, is followed by vi, vi, it is considered a half-syllable. It appears on Sri Krishna's forehead as a half-moon. All the other full syllables are full moons. That's Radha's explanation. So he woke, waited for the light of the morning to come. He went to the place where that book was to be found. He examined the book and confirmed exactly what Radha had told him that night. And then, as she had instructed him to do, he did. He wrote a book explaining with scriptural references the meaning of this Kama Gayatri mantra. But we heard already two things, simply put. Radha said to him, this mantra is for worship of me. Its syllables are specifically for worship of me. And the second thing that we heard is the presiding deity from Vishwanath, the presiding deity of this mantra is Gopinath. So this particular Kama Gayatri specifically is for getting entrance into Vrindavan in the mood of the gopis. So we'll hear something more with text 28. Last thing, a general definition, like a dictionary textbook definition of Gayatri. What's the meaning of Gayatri? Because she protects, or Trayate, the one who chants Gayatam, this mantra, she is known as Gayatri. So, in addition to that entrance, we're one who chants this mantra is given protection by Gayatri herself, who is the mother of the Vedas. Last verse for this morning. Text 28. Traya prabodho ta vidhir vigyata tattva sagaraha Tushtava Vedasarena Stotrinanena Keshavam. And, oh, there's the translation. Different translation than what it says here. Okay. Enlightened by the recollection of that Gayatri, embodying the three Vedas, Brahma became acquainted with the expanse of the ocean of truth. Then, he worships Sri Krishna, the essence of all Vedas, with this hymn, Stotrena, like nice biblical term, hymn. Bhaktisiddhanta chose that word, this stotra. So that's the Govinda stotras. This is the connecting verse to the Govinda prayers. The Govinda hymns, the Govinda stotras. I'm going to read just the little first part of Bhaktisiddhanta's purport. Brahma thought within himself, quote, by recollection of Kama Gayatri, it seems to me that I am the eternal maidservant of Krishna, unquote. Though the other mysteries in regard to the condition of the maidservant of Krishna were not revealed to him, Brahma, by dint of his searching self-consciousness, became well acquainted with the ocean of truth. So this is Brahma's initiation, making him twice born. Born from the body of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, or the lotus from his navel, and then initiated by him, twice born. it's subtle, but in another sense important. Prior to receiving this Kam Gayatri Mantra, it can be said that Brahma's position was he had a theoretical understanding of something like we may have a theoretical understanding of our position as Krishna's eternal servant. Of course, he was in, you know, the state of darkness on the top of a lotus flower where there's only darkness in all directions. There's no people, there was no place to go for a walk. You know, there was just darkness and a lotus flower and the sound of waves beneath. From that he realized his identity as an eternal servant of Krishna. But the details of that was not yet known. From the chanting of this mantra, specifically in Bhaktisiddhanta's language, he seems to me that I am the eternal maidservant of Krishna. His particular rasa became illumined without the details. So through the agency, then the other very important part of this is through the agency of his contact with this Kam Gayatri mantra, Gayatri being the mother of the Vedas, all the knowledge of the Vedas became revealed to him, not from reading books or from hearing the details of those that knowledge, but just from the mantra itself. It's important because we've heard so many times within the Hare Krishna Mahamantra there's everything, because Krishna is everything. And by chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, as by this what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is also called a Mahamantra, there's direct contact with Krishna, and through direct contact with Krishna, all the truths became revealed to him. He became well acquainted with the ocean of truth. Just like we hear in the initial verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hrida Adikavaye. Lord Brahma received knowledge from within the heart, so he received knowledge through Gayatri. And through chanting of Gayatri, that is the way that he received knowledge of the Vedas, directly from Krishna. So one can imagine or understand how qualified is Lord Brahma. Most qualified. We're not so qualified. We hear the Maha Mantra and fall asleep. Or we hear classes over and over and over and over and over and still don't get it. We're not so qualified. But the teaching of the Bhagavatam is through the medium of devotional service itself, that this is the good part. The chanting of Hare Krishna mantra is an appeal to be engaged in devotional service. That's how Prabhupada has given us the meaning of the mantra. Please engage me in your service. And through the medium of devotional service, we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, causelessly knowledge and detachment awaken or arise. So it's the medium of devotional service that allows us to realize the mantra or realize the message of Bhagavad Gita or the message of Srimad Bhagavatam or the message of Brahma Samhita. It's the medium of devotional service. It's not an academic thing. It's the medium of devotional service. To the degree there is this inspired desire, awakened desire, to serve Krishna. And something that assists us in serving Krishna is knowing who is Krishna. Again, referring to Haridas Thakur saying, that in order to get the full benefit of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, there must be proper sambandhagyan. You have to know properly who is Krishna. Because there are people who chant Hare Krishna that don't. They're impersonalists that have a very different idea than Sri Brahma Samhita's idea or Bhagavatam's idea of Krishna. And other types of people that just think it as a song or think that he's one of many something. So proper sambandhagyan is necessary to get the full effect. So fortunately for us, we have this sambandhagyan, compliments of Krishna and the disciplic succession. So we should take full advantage so that the full benefit of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra can be achieved. Brahma achieved this both by the mercy of Kama Gayatri or Gayatri Devi or Gayatri and the internal potency, Ladini Shakti or Yoga Maya, the process of devotional service combined, because it wasn't a curiosity exercise, it was a service exercise. He wanted to qualify himself to fulfill this desire, the empowered passion to create the universe as a service. Here's a verse in purport in that section. In the third canto, chapter 9, where Brahma is being instructed. Here's the translation, 3.9.33, and then Prabhupada's purport. When you are free from the conception of gross and subtle bodies, and when your senses are free from all influences of the modes of material nature, you will realize your pure form in my association. At that time, you will be situated in pure consciousness. So this is to help assist us in coming to that position, all of what we're doing. Prabhupada's purport reads, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu it is said that a person whose only desire is to render transcendental loving service to the Lord is a free person in any condition of material existence. That service attitude is the swarup, or real form of the living entity. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also confirms this statement by declaring that the real spiritual form of the living entity is eternal servitorship to the Lord. The devotees develop a spiritual individuality in their spontaneous service attitude, which is enhanced on and on up to the point of madhurya rasa, or transcendental loving service, reciprocated between the lover and the beloved, which is exactly what Brahma is doing. He realized his position as a servant, and then with Kama Gayatri, he's realized his actual identity as a maidservant of Krishna. Prabhupada stated it so simply, succinctly. And we're followers of Lord Brahma. And the Brahma Samhita is, all of this presentation is to help us understand how we can also get there. And the last part of what I want to say this morning is, maybe you remember that discussion about Swarup Gata and Vastu Gata, Bhakti Vinod Thakur's elucidation or his commentary on the Brahma-Bhuta verse 14.26, Mam Chayogya Vicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samatitai Tan Brahma-Boyaya Kalpate. But he was, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was expressing in his commentary these two stages which Prabhupada writes about in Chaitanya Charitamrita. A stage where there's an understanding of Krishna, which means also an understanding of our position as the servant of Krishna, with also some material affinity or material contact. So that's Bhakti Siddhanta is calling that, Bhakti Vinod Thakur is calling that Sarup Gata, which is very similar to what we just read. The Sarup of the living entity is his position as the mood of service to the Supreme Lord. But when there's still some material contact, one might say, some people say, that can't be considered devotional service. Now, Rupa Goswami considers it devotional service, as we know from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Devotional service, what's the subject matter of Nectar of Devotion is basically three. Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. And there's divisions of them, but those are the three main headings. And even the sadhana stage, like that's us, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, following rules and regulations, it's considered bhakti. Why? Because there's this cultivation of anukogena krishnanushilana, the cultivation of anushilana, the cultivation of that type of devotion that Rupa Goswami is explaining to us in Nectar Devotion, that this ultimate stage. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has special efficacy for this age of Kali to cleanse away all the contaminations and awaken the natural attraction for service to Krishna. And in that attraction for service to Krishna, the specifics of our relationship with Krishna can be further unfolded and enhanced based upon that. So they're both to be chanted. That's our process. Now a little bit of the science of why that is our process. But we find ourselves in the following dilemma. We have still affinity for enjoying some aspects of matter and the material creation and things around us. And it inhibits our devotion. But we, you know, what to do, because we have this affinity for matter. So that question is the subject that we're going to be discussing after breakfast. It's where those verses, starting with text 57, where after hearing all of the Govinda prayers, Govinda recognizes that Brahma still has some affinity for matter in the form of creating the universe, which is fine because he's invested with that potency, Srishti Shakti, to do that creation. But how to not have that affinity impede our progress in devotional service? That's our subject matter. After breakfast, and then again, the conclusion, the concluding verses for the Sunday program, and I think that that's something our Sunday group can handle. Because it's relevant for everybody, how to progress in spiritual life, how to go from Sakkam Bhakti to Nishkam Bhakti, basically. How to handle, how to manage the affinity that we have, the contaminations of affinity for matter, while we're cultivating devotional service to Krishna. Very, very nice topic, very relevant topic, important topic. We're not at Lord Brahma's stage, obviously, but the principles are going to be spelled out. So, see you back here after breakfast. Any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you so much. Maharaj, I have a question about the Gayatri Mantra. Right from the childhood, I have heard Gayatri Mantra means Om Bhurbhu Vasuvaha.
That's Brahma Gayatri. This is a different Gayatri.
Kama Gayatri and Brahma Gayatri.
They're two different Gayatris. They both qualify to be called Gayatri. They have an adjective. Brahma Gayatri, Kama Gayatri.
But Brahma chanted the Kama Gayatri Mantra.
Who did?
Brahma. Not Brahma chanted Kama Gayatri Mantra.
Yes, he did.
Okay. Thank you so much, Manish.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, related to Gayatri Mantra only, as you mentioned that after chanting the Kama Gayatri can take you to the abode of Krishna or you can get a birth in Vrindavan. So the Gayatri Mantra which the initiated people chant, will that also have the same potency?
It's one of the mantras that we receive. It's there.
But it's
yeah, the answer is yes. Yes.
And it is different from the Lord Brahma's mantra.
It's similar but different.
Okay. And my second question is, I've been thinking about it, but I'm not sure, because yesterday we discussed that the karma of the living entities is used for the stem of the lotus flower.
Yeah.
Now the whole planetary system is based on the karma of the living entity, and we know from Gita that karma is not eternal. And why this material thing is used? It's a material creation, but everything sounds very spiritual. Garbha, Daksha, Vishnu, and Lord Brahma's direct contact with Krishna. But then also for the to hold that lotus flower, the karma of living entity is used.
I'm trying to understand your question, but I'm not sure what you're asking.
Even I'm not sure, but this thing is troubling me. Even I'm not sure.
So let me respond then with something that sees if it helps. When you carefully read, let's say, Canto 2, Chapter 1, which is, the subject is the universal form, Virat Rupa. It's described there and elsewhere as imaginary. It's a form of the Lord of the universe, but now you see it, now you don't. So in that sense, Asat, it's imaginary. But on the other hand, it's a form of the Lord. What kind of form of the Lord? The form of the universe. We're not going to have a universe without the Lord. And that's His form of the universe. But it's not an eternal form. So, a little mysterious, right? So that's what seems to be puzzling you. It's an arrangement by the Supreme Person to assist the living entities in a twofold way. One, to regain their natural position of ultimate happiness. Within that creation, there's that facility. Second is to provide them the opportunity to try to enjoy independently, although it can't happen, because there's no such thing. But they wish it. And so an illusory situation is provided for them in which they can try to do that which can't happen, find independent happiness. And therefore, it's a temporary form, an illusory form. And then the gradations or stations where living entities, according to their guna and karma, may find the opportunity to be an enjoyer, but it doesn't happen. Is within the universe, and there's a universal form. That universal form is a place, well, it's Brahma receives the impression of, it's like a blueprint, a contractor has a blueprint to work from. Before there was this building, there was an architect. And the architect made an architectural drawing, and everybody looked at it and said, you know, adjust this and that, make out the final one. Then there's a blueprint that the contractor uses. It's the, you can say, impression of what's going to be built according to the architect's design. Viratruta is like that, it's like a blueprint. Only it's more subtle. Not like on a piece, you know, two-dimensional piece of paper. It's a subtle manifestation of the universe, which we heard, it's within the body of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. When the universe is dissolved, the elements dissipate or go back to their elemental state, but the structure, in its subtle form, enters into his body. And that impression is taken by Lord Brahma, because he has to build it again. That's the blueprint. He's the chief engineer. You've got to look at the blueprint to build the universe. And it's really, really sophisticated, subtle, and complicated, but he has the acumen to do it. And that's what the universal form is. Now, a little bit further, as we heard from our acharyas, Brahma is also the universal form, in addition to that which is within the body of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and then appears as the lotus. Within the stem of that lotus is are the planets and the whole structure of this universe. Brahma is also the stem, or the universal form, in the sense that he's specially qualified and specially gifted. It's difficult to understand, but he's gifted in a way so he can do that, and that's what the universal form is. This lotus that comes from the stem, from the body of Mahavishnu, or Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. It's subtle and not easy to understand. But these are things that our acharyas have described. Yes.
There are two questions on the Maharaj. First is from Monica Mataji. She asks, what is the difference between Paribhasha Sutra and the Chaturshloki verses of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam?
They have a different... The difference is in function. Rather than, well, I suppose I could, to give an answer, I could just repeat all the, or a number of the things that we said, according to Jiva Goswami, what constitutes a Paribhasa Sutra. But different from what Paribhasa Sutra is, there are essential messages. The Chaturshloki verses are those essential messages. They're not key verses that are determining the theme of the text and then they rule or govern the thousands and thousands of other verses that the text may be made up of. It's just, it's different. The function is different. There are essential topics which Srimad Bhagavatam covers, and they're expressed in the Chaturshloki verses. So, the Paribhasa Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam is one. It's the original source of everything, the absolute truth in the, there is no truth superior to him, is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. That's Paribhasa Sutra. That's really sutra-like. Okay. The other question?
The other question from Prajari Prabhu. He says, in J.J. Radha Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, yearning to attain the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Bhaktivinoda floats in happiness at the gopis' feet. just like Brahma says that I am the maidservant of Krishna, how are they similar?
It sounds like he's answering his question within the question. They are similar. One author is expressing this way, another author is expressing that way. They're expressing the same thing in different words. So it's the same thing. That's how they're the same. Just expressed through a different voice, different author. Anything else? Yes.
There's one more question from Kasturi Mandri Mataji. She asks, I have a question about Sambandha Jnana. Properly understanding Sambandha Jnana, does it mean to realize my constitutional position as servant and Krishna to be the source of everything? Will
yes.
this realization automatically come by executing devotional services, or one should specifically follow something?
Well, it's if one understands that by following the process of devotional service includes hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam's message carefully, then the answer is yes. If one thinks, well, I just follow devotional service, I'll offer my food to Krishna and perform arti and clean the temple and I don't really pay attention to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam's message. I just do devotional service. Then, not very likely. I mean, if one is qualified like Lord Brahma, sure, but for the rest of us, that part of hearing message of Krishna and about Krishna is where we get sambandha again. And is realized through the medium of devotional service. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaja. So I'm clarifying what I wrote in my book, just a note. So the very first Brahmaji received the Gopa mantra from the Saraswati Devi.
Yeah.
Then second he heard about the tapa world.
No.
So?
Not separate. And then, it's not separate.
It's not separate.
No. In other words, I'll just clarify. Second canto, third canto of Bhagavatam speak of Brahma hearing tapa. Brahma Samhita speaks of his hearing from Gayatri Devi, from Saraswati. They're the same. Specifically, in Brahma Samhita, the tapa that he was to perform was chanting of the Gopa mantra. That was his tapa. In the Bhagavatam, it doesn't specify what was his tapa. One can interpolate and understand. He chanted Gopa mantra. That was his tapa.
The 18 syllables of Gopa mantra.
Huh?
So the tapa is 18 syllables of Gopa mantra.
But the tapa was what?
18 syllables.
18 syllables, yeah. Okay?
And I think I'm going aggressive on that part. Once Brahmaji received the Gayatri Mantra as an initiation, then afterwards he transferred to the Narada Muni and Narada Muni gave it to the Vyasadeva to write.
Like that.
That's right.
Yeah. We're okay? Yes?
In text 28 it says Gayatri Mantra is embodied.
In text 28 it says what?
Gayatri is embodied the three Vedas.
Yeah.
Is it like four Vedas or like?
You want to want the clarification of why
yes.
three instead of four?
Yes.
Radha Krishna, you want to help me with this one? My recollection is the Atharva Veda is when Vyas divided the Vedas into four, and there are principal portions, and then there's other portions, kind of like auxiliary messages, something like that. And so, when it's speaking of the three Vedas, we can understand it means the four Vedas, because that fourth Veda is the auxiliary portion, something like that. Radha Krishna?
And I think it's inclusive.
Huh?
Inclusive.
So, three means also four.
Yeah.
So, I just gave it some detail, but three means four.
Maharaj, maybe somebody can help me, but one of them, maybe it's a Yajurveda that's divided into two. And that's why it's become four instead of three. And I look it up and let you know, but I forget which one it is.
We have to be careful where we receive knowledge from. Now, you look it up on Google or hear from somebody who has said something or read something, and your head will spin. And not necessarily take you to the right understanding. So we have to be careful where we hear from, some lady said. So, Radha Krishna? Anything?
And it was Maharaj. So when I was growing up, my grandmother gave me a mantra, and I didn't know what it was until I heard your lecture yesterday. Between Krishna, I Govinda, I Gopi, Janavallabha, I Swaha. So is it okay to continue to chant that, given that now I'm in this devotional line?
According to Hari Bhakti Vilas, take the microphone from him. According to Hari Bhakti Vilas, one will not receive the fruit of that mantra unless it is received in disciplic succession. Specifically, Hari Bhakti Vilas says, if one has received such a mantra, not in disciplic succession, then one should receive it again from disciplic succession. So now your specific question is it okay to chant that mantra or any other mantra that's not received in disciplic succession? And the answer is it will bear no fruit. So you can do things that aren't going to bear fruit, that's okay. I mean, it's not like zero, because they're names of Krishna. It's not a zero. But to receive the fruit that is intended from that mantra, it is to be received through disciplic succession. So that's what really what you should do, or anyone should do, who has received, you know, from a family guru has received Brahma Gayatri or whatever it is, or you know, whatever it is. One should receive through disciplic succession. That's the statement of Hari Bhakti Vilas. Okay. We're done. So see you again at Nandasutta, 9:30. Srila Prabhupada.